Final hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit less than 11 hours away. The countdown is on, it looks like. Impending MLB lockout is just around the corner. The question is, how long will it last? That's why we're seeing all these deals being done. You know, you sell
except for one.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Robbie Ray gets a 5-year. I'm just trying to do this stuff off the top of my head. What do you get? 115? 5 years, 115? Is that right with the Mariners?
I don't know. Yeah, it was something like that.
It was the Mariners.
Yeah, I think it was. Let me look that up real quick. I think it was five years.
Yes, 5 years, 115. 115. And I opt out after the third season.
Okay. You're seeing all these deals come down the pike because there is a lockout looming. And it doesn't look like they're, from everything I've read, it doesn't sound like they're even close on some of this stuff.
Oh, now, yeah. But
it is December 1st. But, I mean, spring training's not that far away, right? I mean, pitchers and catchers reporting isn't that far away. The question is there going to be a delay in the season?
We talked about this before last season started, right? In the middle of the pandemic, when they delayed and they couldn't get their act together to start a few weeks before, where they would have had the entire sports world watching them, everybody could have predicted that this day was going to happen, that they weren't going to have an agreement when this one expired. So I think everybody has known this is coming. The question is, will the pressure of starting the season on time help? Now, I think at least the owners are going to sit there and say, well, your concerns about what we're paying players have to go out the window. Remember, there was a sense from the players that, hey, you guys are sort of trying to knock down player salaries, but they're throwing crazy money out
there
at the top guys. But what's happened is that second tier and that third tier, teams have gotten a lot, I don't want to say smarter, but they've taken a different approach.
They've gotten smarter. Why isn't it smarter?
I would say that they're smarter. Players would be upset if I said that. I think they would say, wait a minute, you don't want a veteran player? But I think what teams have said is, you know what, we can get just the same amount of production from younger players, cheaper players, than a grizzled veteran that would command more money, that people used to pay more for. And I think that's where it's happened. But there's still a lot of other issues to get to. And so to answer your question, Darren, they're still way far apart. It's going to take a long time to get this. I just hope that when the clock's ticking, there's a deadline, it helps.
I'm hoping that both sides look at this. And if, like, there's a lockout right now, okay, big whoop. I hope that both sides look at how poorly they came across trying to get a COVID schedule together,
right,
and only playing 60 games. And somebody smart says, hey, you know what? We kind of screwed that up, and we don't look very good. Let's work this out and not miss any games, not miss any spring training, and let's get it done. But unfortunately,
I'm sorry, did you say smart?
I know.
Use the word smart in there?
I know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. That sounds great, though. It does, but
thank you.
Yeah. Baseball, they at times, a lot of the time, they just can't get out of their own way. They've not done a great job PR-wise and they're going down a dangerous path again because it's starting to happen a little too much. I don't know. Now, going back to what you said about your guy, FF, you painted the, and I warned you. You were like, "Oh, it's gonna get done. It's happening here." I mean, it's there's no way. Okay, you still feel the same way?
I still think it ultimately gets done.
No question.
Gets done.
Well, no question.
Today's the last day to get it done before all of this stuff starts.
Yeah.
You don't think it's gonna happen today?
No.
You have no idea.
No, I don't. But it's not gonna happen today.
Why do you think it's not gonna happen today?
I think it could.
I don't.
You have a deadline.
Well, of course, it could.
Deadlines usually move stuff along.
Okay,
I feel good about it.
If I'm Atlanta, give him.
Don't use could, because that's a chicken bleep. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is the deal going to happen?
Yes.
It will get done tonight.
Yes, it gets done, and give him the 6th year. If he wants the 6th year, just give him the damn 6th year.
I agree.
He just helped you win a World Series. He is the face of your franchise. He is the best player that you've had since Chipper Jones. I know what Acuña is. Acuña is still very young. Give him what he wants.
I'm a no. It's not happening. Not tonight before midnight. Not happening.
And you probably wouldn't give him 6 years. It's risky. I mean, it puts him at 38, I think, when the contract is done.
And what's the per? Where are we at on per?
That's
I know there's a gap there too. So what is he looking for, and what are the Braves looking for?
Hey, as David Poyle always says, we're close. We just got to figure out the number of years and the amount of money,
and then it'll all be wrapped up.
Yep. I mean, that's.
So you don't have no there's no definitive reports out there on where, but yet it's going to get done by midnight. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no on that. That's not happening. Because if he is everything the picture has been painted, especially on this show from you, I get it. He's all that and more. Then why isn't a deal done? If it's that easy, it's right. Because it's not.
Darren, are you going to sit here? You tried to pin us down. I will pin you down. You're saying he's going to be in another uniform besides the Braves next year?
I said it's not getting done before the lockout.
Okay, that's fine, but it will get done.
My point is
he going to be on another team? He's not going anywhere.
Chase
you would
like,
say that,
it's going
you?
To happen. When we had this discussion right after they won it, like, it's going to happen. Like, here, any day, this is done. Like, there's nothing.
Who cares how long it takes, really, ultimately? He's not going anywhere.
No, because I said, well, wait a minute. It's not that easy. Like, if it was that easy, the deal would be done. It's not.
Nothing is easy. Are you saying he's going to be in a different uniform next year?
I'm not saying that at all.
Don't worry. It'll get done.
What do you mean, don't worry?
So, okay, are you
there's
saying
there's nothing
in,
to worry about? He's
are you
not
saying he's
going
back
anywhere.
In a Braves
what?
Uniform.
Tell me the team that's going in there and trying to get him.
John the mailman is texting right now. Freeman and Pinstripe sounds super good. No.
Okay, let me just paint the picture for you. I'm not worried no matter what. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm not worried one way or the other.
But you pick one. Is he in a Braves uniform or another uniform?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Yes, all I've done, only thing I've been definitive on is you have painted the picture like this is a no-brainer, and I've said
it is a no-brainer.
It is not a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer.
Because he's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter how difficult the negotiation is if he's going to end up a Brave. He's not give me the other team that's going to swoop in and get him. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
John the mailman just said it.
Okay, yeah.
Look, the usual suspects
he's
are
not
in.
Going to
the
New
Dodgers
York.
Are
the
interested.
Guardians,
the Red Sox are interested.
This year?
The Guardians are not interested. The Yankees are interested. The Rangers are interested. Apparently, the Rangers have
the
a
Rangers
money tree.
Just spent so much money. How could they possibly have enough left?
They have a money tree.
What is going on in Arlington? They get a new stadium, and it's like, okay, we got all kinds of.
Well, they have two stadiums technically. I mean, they're both still there. So.
Is the other one still upright?
Yeah.
Are they playing a football league in it?
I have no idea what they're doing with it.
Is that where the USFL is going to play?
Probably.
Wasn't that league playing in that?
Right? Yeah,
they
the
were playing
AAF,
games in
the
there.
AAF or XFL, one of them.
Yeah.
Played in there.
I couldn't remember. I'm trying to remember which one lasted.
One of the defunct
longer.
Football leagues.
Which
was
one went
in there.
4 weeks and which one went 5 weeks? I'm trying to remember which one went longer. So, yeah, I understand what he means, and I know that. He wants to be there. They want to be there. But, you know, it's a business, and I don't know. By the way, what's the fallout from this? What's the fallout on what they agree on? Has anybody thought about that?
What do you mean, like money-wise?
Yeah. Like, how is this affecting
And honestly, I don't know this, but honestly, I could see that's part of it, of Freddie saying, do what you need to do. And let's make the team right and do what you need to do, and then we'll figure me out. I could totally see that being the case.
If that were the case, then he wouldn't be so hell-bent on money and years. If this was team friendly, and I'm here for the team, and this is my home, and whatever you guys need to do, you go do it. I'll take the Tom Brady contract. Then we wouldn't be having this discussion.
But you say that the there's been reports of that he wanted a 6-year, but
yes,
but neither
and
the Braves,
reports that they're not that close on money and a year, which is kind of a big deal in a guaranteed contract.
All right, here is the quote from The Athletic. Around the baseball industry, the consensus is that Freeman has asked for a 6-year guaranteed deal with an average salary well above the $26 million that Paul Goldschmidt makes in his 5-year, $130 million contract with St. Louis. But that's the baseball industry consensus, which obviously they're getting that from somewhere.
Right.
But it also says neither the Braves nor Freeman's representatives have been willing to publicly discuss contract parameters nor confirm or deny reports and rumors of the figures involved.
What is north of $26 million? What is that? Is it 26 and a half? Is it 27? Or is it 35?
I don't know.
That's kind of a big deal, right? What if he wants 36 mil a year and an extra year?
Look, here's what it comes down to.
Listen.
They want him.
Listen.
They want him. He wants to be a Brave. They will work it out. End of story.
Okay.
It may take a while. Tough negotiation. All these things you're bringing up are important things. He wants to take advantage of being a free agent for probably the last time in the prime of his career. It will be the last time in the prime of his career.
Probably.
This is it. He wants to maximize it, but he wants to play on a winning team. It means something to him to win. So that's what they have to work through. But they'll work through it. I still am trying to get Darren to say, well, there's maybe a possibility he's going to play for somebody else, but he won't do that.
He just tries to needle you. No.
But at the bottom line, he knows he's going to be a Brave. Darren knows he will be on the Braves next year. Because his team won't spend any money at all. If they wanted to open up the wallet, their payroll is going to be lower than the Mets are paying Max Scherzer.
He is going to wear a uniform that has Braves written in script and a tomahawk on it, and he's going to wear number 5.
When are they ever the same payroll as the Mets? The Mets are foolish with their money. I wouldn't want
to
be the same payroll as the Mets. They're fools with their money.
Absolutely. That's how they roll. That's got nothing to do with Freddie Freeman.
No. No, it doesn't.
They're actually trying to beat Freddie Freeman's team by throwing money at every problem. That's not the smartest thing to do.
Here's one thing.
But Freddie Freeman will be on the Braves, which you keep going around in circles on this, but you will not say, well, but maybe he'll play for a different team.
Let me throw out a scenario that I haven't thought of until I just read something. It's likely that the universal DH is going to be a thing. I was surprised that they went back to the old way this year, but it's very likely that is going to happen.
And we won't know until they get this CBA done, which is going to take a long time. But I think you're right.
So where I'm going with that is, if you're Atlanta, do you maybe want to wait to see if it becomes a thing? Because then a 6-year deal for a guy that you could potentially move to the DH may be a little more enticing.
That's exactly what I just said. Don't you think – that's why I don't understand why there's been this mad rush to do all this. Wouldn't you want to see how the CBA – how this all plays out? Like, there's things that are going to affect people.
And that's fine. You might have the luxury of that because there's really, at the end of the day, not a lot of fear that he's going to another team. And if some team did come together with a big offer, then the Braves really would have no choice but to match the offer, I think.
You're saying if the Philadelphia Flyers gave him $110 million, the Braves
Flyers
are going to have to match it.
Yes. Can he skate?
Yes, the Flyers. So if the Flyers come in and give him an obscene amount of money, they're going to have to match it, and they're going to keep it.
I mean, that'd be a story if the Flyers came in and gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you're not picking up on the reference. So that's what Willie's painting the picture. Oh, the Flyers come in, and they if somebody swoops in, like now we have no choice. Okay.
They can't let him go.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you want.
And they won't.
And by the way, it could play out that way. The Predators did it. That was the whole point.
Well, there's no such thing as an offer sheet in Major League Baseball.
But I
think Freddie Freeman, because he wants to be a Brave, would say, hey, I got this offer from this other team. This is the offer. Can you match it or not? And the Braves would have to say, yeah, we can't lose you, Freddie.
Yeah. And that's probably
And Freddie would say, good, let's go with it.
Right.
So all paths lead to him being back in Atlanta. It may not be until thing gets over. They might not start until May.
He has said he wants to really play his whole career in Atlanta.
You think that it is a possibility it could be that sticky, that messy?
Based on the past?
I think it's possible, yeah.
I mean, based on what we know about baseball negotiations, I'd say yeah.
Yeah, well, they're right. Their track record is not fast and, you know, swift and effective. No. No, I agree. But, wow. I'm just telling you, I'm worried. That's all I'm doing. I'm just throwing a little caution flag because if he ends up in another uniform, like, I'm concerned about the third member on this show. I'm really concerned. Like, what'll happen? I don't know what'll happen.
Remember when you said something about a game seven, and I said, well, we're not going to have to worry about that. It's over tonight. That's how I feel. Like, it's going to get done. It's going to get done.
Yeah, because I fear that day if he leaves. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not thinking about it.
What will be the reaction? First of all, when you come back like a month and a half later on the show, we'll have to get your reaction.
I'll have a beard. Like, my beard will be
disappear
even
for yeah,
longer.
You'll be like Will Ferrell. And yeah, you look like you've been
bloodshot
living in the mountains
eyes
for 6 weeks.
Like, guys, I went to Vegas. This is Paris, my new wife.
Some things have happened while I've been away.
Oh, nice to meet you, Paris.
Where are you from?
Hey, good question. Where are you from, hon?
What did you do in Vegas? Well, let's just say she worked on the Strip. Okay?
Her stage name is Sugar.
Yep, that's about
Sugar
right.
McCabe. Everybody.
Did you win at the tables? Well, no, I didn't.
It was a table.
Yeah.
And it was a win.
It was. Maybe.
You said this is my wife, Paris. It's got to be a win, right?
Different kind of game.
Elvis married us. It was great. It's a beautiful ceremony.
Do they let you bet in Vegas on who's going to sit on the pole for NASCAR?
Okay.
For NASCAR, what? They let you do that?
Yes.
Chase is gone. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
All right. QC Kinetics. No way to segue into this, but let me try. I want to reach out to everybody out there who is trying to get right and be as active as possible for 2022. A lot of people out there have knee pain, shoulder pain, and back pain, and it's chronic. It bothers you. It keeps you from doing the things that you want to do. So, resolve right now to get yourself moving again for 2022 with the help of QC Kinetics. This is non-surgical regenerative treatment for joint pain. We're talking lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, no downtime. Now, that could be a much better alternative for you than some of these things that we just mentioned, like surgery or pain meds. This is exciting stuff. Regenerative, restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself. So if this is something you haven't explored, you need to. You can get a free second opinion at QC Kinetics. Don't let anybody tell you that surgery is the only option or steroids or something like that. Resolve life in 2022 without that joint pain that's been bugging you. Call these local medical professionals at QC Kinetics at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. For QC Kinetics.
That's what I'm afraid of. If Freddie Freeman goes elsewhere, that'll be Chase coming back into town. Guys, well, here's Lola.
Paris.
Lola McCabe. Hey, we're going to play Silly Underdog Picks. Tomorrow we'll review and make our selections at noon. You also can play along with us. We have weekly prizes. You, the listeners, get three picks. Remember, your game has to win outright. It's not against the spread. Your team has to win the game outright. We've got tickets to sporting events, upcoming concerts. So jump in there and play along with us. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. All right, Bill Barnwell put out an article on ESPN.com, and it was titled, Why NFL Star Quarterbacks Matthew Stafford, Lamar Jackson, and Ryan Tannehill Are Struggling, and How Each Gets Back on Track. So with that being said, Willie, what stood out to you in this article?
This is an article that's on ESPN Plus. It's interesting. I think Barnwell, who goes way back to, he originated with Football Outsiders. He's an analytics guy as much as anything else. I was reading his take. You know, he does three quarterbacks that are in a bit of a slump for different reasons. Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford, and Lamar Jackson. And he's going through the why. You know, he kind of goes back and forth in his take on how much responsibility should be his and how much is just simply they have no weapons around him. So he's somewhere in the middle of what the three of us have, you know, debated really all week and really for the last 2 weeks, is how much responsibility should fall on Tannehill. But here's what jumped out at me. He looked at the numbers. The biggest thing that has dropped off since Derrick Henry has left has been, anyone want to take a guess? Statistically, there's no comparison before and after. What is the bread and butter
play
of
action.
The Titans' passing attack?
Play action.
Correct. Passing on play action. Before and after Derrick Henry's injury, first of all, they're not even trying play action nearly as much. Before Derrick Henry was hurt, 31%. After Derrick Henry's been injured, only 20%. So they're 11% or 10.5% down since the injury. In other words, why bother? They're not going to bite on these fakes anywhere. Anyway,
I feel like they did more last week than they had to that point.
I don't know. And of course, they only tried to pass 21 times.
Right.
The QBR for Tannehill, 82 on play action, down to 57.5. Yards per attempt, which I think is an important passing stat, 10.8 yards per attempt on play action before Henry was injured, only 6.8 after. How many times you can picture it in your head, the play action, the crossing route, most of the time to A.J. Brown, big run after catch, and you get explosive plays. The Titans have not generated a single explosive play, 30-plus yards, on a play-action pass since Derrick Henry went out. And it's only gotten harder since A.J. Brown went down, and of course Julio Jones is now down. They just have no way of really exploiting a defense down the field. There's nothing to fear for the defense. So that is taken away their best, most efficient way of passing the ball. So the question I think Barnwell throws out there is, listen, until you get Derrick Henry back, can you reinvent yourself and find a different way to go about it? Because Henry's so important in the play action. It's a tough question for Todd Downing, I think, during this bye week.
Yeah. I mean, because you're right. That is totally their bread and butter and has worked so well for Tannehill. But, I mean, that's also where you get Tannehill running the boot, you know, the bootleg that we've seen so many times off of play action, and they're just not doing that stuff as much. But I would need to go look at the underlying numbers. I feel like it was more this week, and it's because they had an effective run game.
They did have an effective run game, which has got to be encouraging. Obviously, they've got to hang on to the ball. That's an obvious. But can they make it work? Now, it would make all the difference in the world to get Brown and Jones back. Then you might be able to say, okay, I got a good enough run game to keep the defense honest, and maybe we can go back to doing some play action. But I'll always remember Todd Downing's phrase going into the Rams game, the first week without Derrick Henry. He said, I don't want to jerk the wheel. I don't want to just blow up everything we've done and try to reinvent this offense. But, you know, A, what does he know? What are the chances they could get Derrick Henry back at some point? So you want to keep that framework in there. Or can they find a way? But right now with all those guys, I had, you know, my rant on Monday, when you start going down the list of undrafted free agents and guys who were on practice squads, guys who were on the street they're just not going to strike any fear in defenses.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really tough to make it work.
And here's the
thing. Until they get some of these guys back.
He did say that. I don't want to reinvent the wheel and or jerk the wheel is what he said. But when you lose a player of the caliber of Derrick Henry and how much he means to your offense, you kind of have to an extent. And especially now with Julio out, A.J. Brown out, you know, McNichols has made, you know, an impact at times with what he can do. He's out. You don't have a choice at this point. You're going to have to change on the fly, and that's what they've struggled with.
I don't know what's going to change other than relying on A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to be available and get back. I mean, they're the only chance you have. They just are. Because no defense, even with them running for 270 yards against the Patriots, no defense right now fears the Titans. They don't fear Ryan Tannehill. They don't fear anything they're trotting out there. You can even have success like they did on Sunday, and yet they're still not fearful of you beating them. And that's not going to change with anybody they have, no matter if Marcus Johnson were to go for 100 yards, and I know he's not going to, but when he did, you know, rise up and have the game, when, you know, they get these games from other guys, the teams are like, okay, that's fine. I mean, if NWI wants to have six catches for 107 yards, so be it. We'll still beat you. That's the problem, because we already knew that the defense has gotten better than last year, but it's not like the defense is now upper echelon. Is it massive? Is it improved from last year? Yes, it has. And at times, massively improved. But here of late, it hasn't, right? It's the same old stuff. Not generating any turnovers, not getting to the quarterback. And, you know, they're having issues with bodies as well. But right now, there's not much they can do that really scares anybody. There's just not. Like, you tell me, you're game planning for the Titans. What are you scared of? Tell me the fear factor you have with the Titans. What is it? When you're in the meeting rooms.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
Right.
I mean, Byard is who you probably key in on the most, and that's really it.
But the Patriots weren't afraid to go his way.
True. It's fair. True.
I mean, why would you stay completely away? I mean, I get it. It's, you know, sometimes it doesn't dictate. It's easier said than done. But I'm just saying, you know, that overshoulder of the touchdown pass was, I mean, Byard couldn't do anything any better. I mean, that was an incredible pass and an incredible catch by Bourne. The point is, they could have gone somewhere else. They could have said that we've identified him as their best weapon, especially in the secondary. He is their best guy. Let's stay far away from him. Let's try to avoid him at all costs. How about that? But they went right at him. And it was an incredible play. I just think that's the problem they have. And I don't know, you know, what are the bodies that changes that narrative? Well, on offense, it's very clear. It's A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. But who is it on defense? Who changes
I think
that
a refreshed, narrative? I think a refreshed defensive line would make a big difference. I think the bye week should help them. I think Bud Dupree comes back. Joe and Robbie were sharing some interesting stats. Even though Bud Dupree's individual stats aren't very good, I don't know if you would say it's coincidental or not, but the defensive stats are way better when he's on the field as opposed to not on the field. Big time different.
No, I agree. I mean, and the fact he's missed his three games now, right?
He can come back.
Well,
after.
He left that game, and then he's missed two. He left.
No. He left the.
He didn't leave the Rams. I thought he left the game after the Rams, the Saints game.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
He left early in the Saints game.
He's got to miss one more. No, he's right. He's got to miss one more. Julio can come back. Julio's eligible to come back, and that was going to be my question: is Julio Jones on the field against
the Jags?
Yeah,
and if he's not, it's like, oh, you're still not ready. But. Like we said, there's still a long way to go. If you knew you had him for the last three games, it would be good. We had this discussion with Adoree Jackson last year, and he finally did get healthy enough to play, and he didn't play very well.
I mean, and the other guys that aren't even on IR, like, do they have David Long?
Huge
question.
They have
Rashad Evans.
David Long might be the most important guy on defense that they haven't had.
Well, especially they put Monty Rice on IR yesterday. I mean, they're running out of guys. Like, it's Jayon Brown and Nick DeZumbar.
Well, and they had the guy that
Dylan
Cole. Yeah. Who had a chance to make an interception. But these are guys, they're not as good of players. That's why they were available to anybody and everybody, even to put on a practice squad. And they're in big games for the Titans.
But, you know, if David Long's available, and even Rashawn Evans.
That's a huge one, David
Long. Like, you would take that at this point.
That is exactly why that's exactly why they're not permanent fixtures on rosters, because those guys can give you something.
But they make mistakes.
But they can't.
They fumble.
They make mistakes. That's the Hilliard and Foreman. They had a great day running, had two big runs that were capped off by fumbling the football. Derrick Henry doesn't do that. Derrick Henry doesn't fumble. Derrick Henry has big runs, has big days, and he doesn't fumble. Those guys, Hilliard and Foreman, they do. Dylan Cole, right there in position. It's a pick six. He's off to the races. He's gone. Yep. He is
Might
gone.
Have
been. It was served up on a platter, and he's in position. He's in position to make a play. Yeah, he broke up the play, but could have changed, could have changed something with the game. I mean, it could have. Could have been a real momentum changer, but guys like that, oh so close, right? I mean, that's the difference. I mean, that's why they're not permanent fixtures on rosters, because it's good in spots and it's feasible, but they're just not going to make the plays that, your stars do. That's just the reality of it. So if this is what it continues to be the rest of the way, even though their schedule's pretty light, do they still have enough to eke this thing out? Are they still have enough in the tank to still get wins? Because they're going to need a win over one of those three. Like the Texans and Jags, I don't want to say are givens. I'm going to say the Texans game is a given. The Jags game down there, we'll see. Should still be a given.
Jags game's here.
The Jags game is here.
The Jags game is here? Okay. Game is here.
I'm not
still
even
–
I'm looking
given.
Past that. Like Barnwell,
they got to win one of those three.
Barnwell points out what you pointed out last week, Darren, the percentage. Like, this is even after losing to the Patriots. We talked about it after losing to Houston, or maybe it was the Monday after the game. Their chances of winning the division, especially after the Colts loss, that was the best news of the weekend, that Tampa pulled out that game that the Colts had full control of. Their chances of winning the division is still at like 97%, because all they really need, it's the magic number of three with five games left. So any win they get or loss the Colts get knocks that magic number down because of the tiebreakers. There's so much going in their favor. Their record could be 9-8, and they're in the playoffs. The question is, what do they look like when they get to the playoffs? I thought Mike Florio is the latest to weigh in on that. And Tim Hasselbeck had this theme yesterday, that in a snapshot, in a part of a season, which, of course, we do every week with our top 10, a team can look really bad. The Titans don't look very good right now. But it's not what they are going to look like in 4 weeks, hopefully.
Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard to answer any of these questions, because you don't know who's going to be in the lineup.
It's everything.
Week to week.
Everything.
If you get Julio back, let's say Julio is off IR and he's back for Jacksonville. Okay, great. But what is he?
There's a lot of levels to that question.
What he's been
what is he against Jacksonville, and what will he be? What can you count on each week?
Yeah.
From him.
I mean, if he balls out and goes for like 125 and a touchdown, then you're going, okay, great. That's what you need.
I don't even think you need that. I just would love to have consistent play each week. Like Joe brought up a couple of examples. There's maybe the best he's played, the Seattle game, where he was a big factor, where he had over 100 yards, plus he had a very questionable touchdown overturned. Remember the heel thing on the back end? And there was the Rams game where he wasn't a big factor, but they threw to him a couple times, and he got some key catches at key times. You know, I'll take somewhere in between that.
Well, and I thought he made a couple of key catches in the Buffalo game before he.
Yes, he did.
Before then, AJ kind of took over in the second half, but
that was one of those games where he got sore towards the end of the game and wasn't in.
Right,
and they still managed to make it work, but he did make some good plays in that game.
Yeah, in Seattle was 128 yards on 6 receptions. I mean, that's by far his best game. But as you mentioned, had the touchdown overturn, which I still don't agree with. But
we'll come back, wrap up Wednesday's edition of Darren Dunnick and Chase next. Speaking of hitting the road, you'll be on the road in Indian Lakes in Hendersonville. Tell everybody what you're doing on Saturday.
I sure will. Is Amari Cooper expected to play tomorrow against the Saints? That's good. You can join me at Sam's in Hendersonville, 307 Indian Lakes Boulevard. Catch the SEC championship game, enjoy some great food, beer specials, and get some game swag as well. So we'll be there around 2-ish to get ready for the SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama. Should be fun.
I was just watching a TMZ sports video during the break that was put out this morning or today on Marcell Ozuna. It's not good.
No.
With him and his wife.
Yeah. No.
Not good.
I'm going to be honest, like, because so MLB retroactively suspended him for 20 games. So basically while he was on whatever list he was on, they've said he's not going to get paid for 20 games from last season. So he's going to be available for spring training and for the start of the season, whenever that is. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. Kind of want to move on from him, if I'm just being completely 100% honest.
200 hours of community service. I guess he's got to take anger management courses, and it'll be put on 6 months of supervision, whatever that – placed on 6 months supervision. I don't know what that means. Not sure how exactly that works. But, it's not good.
Mm-mm.
It's not good at all. Is it the time of year now that we're in December? Start paying a little bit closer attention to college basketball. Last night, a good one. Duke did not have a good second half, and the number one team in the land goes down to Ohio State. Anybody watching any college basketball at all?
I've watched some. I didn't watch that one. Belmont Lipscomb coming up? Is that tonight or tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. All right.
Darren, your Belmont credentials here somewhere if you'd like.
No, it's right there.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Season pass.
Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
Me neither.
Me neither. We're all busy.
Vanderbilt's won a few games. I think they've got a couple guys who haven't played yet. Kind of intriguing to see how much better they are. I'm confident in saying they're better, but how much better? They need a big leap.
Looks
Tennessee,
like MTSU is way better this year. Way better.
Another team that's been way down, that's got nowhere to go but up, but this is a big year for them to try to make some strides. I'm watching some. Gonzaga, I was there's so many new faces every year, but Gonzaga's got some guys. We're like, I remember that guy from last year. You know who else looks pretty good, even though they've lost some guys, is Baylor. Baylor is still really, really good, I think.
How good is Arkansas?
Arkansas
buying
that
they're real, but real deal?
No? I don't think they're a finished product yet. They have so many transfers. I mean, like Texas, they raided the transfer portal, and they're going to be leaning a lot on those guys, but they're solid right now. I don't think they're top 10 or maybe they're flirting with top 15, but I think towards the end of the year they'll be solid.
The one team I haven't watched yet that I'd like to is Tennessee with all these, some of the new guys, the big recruits that we were hearing. How are they looking so far?
I've watched
a little bit.
Chandler's the real deal, but I'm still like a little bit underwhelming, at least so far what I've watched. You agree, Elijah, or no?
A little. I mean, I feel like they do kind of fall into to funks, and they're figuring out what their offense is, too. I mean, after the first, five games, they were on pace to be Rick Barnes' three-point happiest three-point shooting team, and they're not exactly the best three-point shooting team, so they're kind of figuring some things out, too. But this is the one Rick Barnes team that's never – he's never had a point guard like Kennedy Chandler. I mean, the closest might have been DJ Augustine, and that's really – what's stalled out their offense is the last 2 years. They've never had a point guard who was a true facilitator, and this is the best one he's had yet. I think so. Like, come to conference play, I think they're really going to figure it out, especially if Ziegler gets a lot of minutes too, and he can give them like 15, 20 off the bench. I think this team will be better than last year, because last year's team was so stale offensively that this like Kennedy, having a Kennedy Chandler fixes a lot of those problems.
Do we know how the ticket sales are going? December 18th, the game at Bridgestone, Memphis and UT.
Should be pretty good. That one's going to be fun.
Well, I know, but I mean, are people? I mean, that's a great. It's a great college basketball game. Are people? I mean, I'm just curious. Is it going to be a sellout? Is it going to be a jam packed? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine the crowd will be good though, because I think there's some juice for that. For
there
sure.
Should be. I mean, and they could potentially both be in the top 10. By that point, too, there's a lot that can happen in these 2 weeks where they take care of business, can weasel their way in. If Memphis didn't lay an egg against Iowa State, they would already still be in the top 10.
A pretty crazy game last night between Syracuse and Indiana, by the way, too. What was it, two overtimes?
And like 224 combined points.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun game.
Indiana showed by four with like 5 seconds left and still managed to take it to overtime.
Yeah, but you're right. Going back on the Tennessee, Kennedy Chandler's just – he's different. That cat's just different. He's fun to watch. I hope they have a great crowd. I mean, I don't know why they shouldn't. I mean, that it should be – there should be a tremendous crowd for that game. But that's why I'm posing the question. These games in December, it's hard to get people on board college basketball, you know. And I'm wondering if those fan bases will be on board, or just the casual college basketball fan in this market will go see that game. Because remember when Gonzaga came through here a couple years ago and not very many people talked about it? They would end up being the number one team in the land. And they came right through here and played Tennessee at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious on it too.
It didn't feel like there was much of a buzz, you know, and it was like a big deal. So I hope, gosh, there was a time and a place when that would have been a surefire sellout in Nashville.
It's just like you're asking, you know, when do you kind of make the shift into watching college hoops?
Yep.
If you're a casual NBA fan, that game's going to involve three lottery picks between the two teams. Three.
Yep. Be good.
Yep, no doubt. All right, that will do it for our show today. Don't forget Smashville Live this evening during the 6 o'clock hour. Myself and Hal Gill will be hosting. Colton Sissons will join us the first half of it. Tanner Janot the second half. Hope you get a chance to listen during the 6 o'clock hour. Enjoy the rest of your day. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.